comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Happy Thursday, Carbondale. This is KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. You are tuned into everything under the sun. I'm your host today, Megan Tackett, Soper Sun reporter, and very happy to be back on the airwaves after like 2 weeks of a bronchial situation. So thanks for your patience, and thanks, Will, for filling in for me the other week as well. I am not alone on our new show this afternoon. I am joined by co-venture Jonathan, and I just spaced on your last name.
That's Stokely, Jonathan Stokely. Thank you for having me.
What an awesome last name.
It's pretty stoked to have you.
Right?
Be here.
Yeah, exactly. And especially like in Colorado too, do you just get all the automatic street cred? Like,
pretty much since I grew up, everybody referred to me as, what's up, Stokes?
Awesome. And where was that? Where did you grow up?
Southwest Missouri.
Nice, nice. What made you make the jump to Colorado?
Well, I mean, why not? Now, Missouri is a beautiful place, but just coming to Colorado, I've been growing up skiing and coming out here on vacations with my family. And then a few years ago, I was living in Chicago with my then fiance, and it was just like, we need to get out of here, visit some friends, and never look back.
Cool.
Gorgeous place to live.
Yeah, this is not a bad place to land. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
And it sounds like congratulations are in order because CoVenture is open. We are celebrating grand opening tomorrow, First Friday.
That is correct. We did our soft opening on First Friday in February, and now we're doing our grand opening tomorrow from 6 to 8. So if you are out and about for First Friday, want to stop in, we'll have a couple speakers talking about what we do and the services we offer beyond co-working, which we'll touch on in a little bit in this segment. And then also have some light apps and some drinks and for enjoyment and merriment and learning all about how we can make the Valley a better place for everybody.
Well, you usually have me at merriment and apps and drinks, so good start. For listeners right now, I know we were kind of talking off air earlier. There's been a lot of buzz about this and very little concrete idea of exactly what it is you do, I find. And kind of the transition from, for people who are familiar with GlenX, and wait, is it GlenX? Is it GlenX 2.0? Is it just a rebrand, or is there more to the shift? So can you kind of touch on that and give an elevator pitch, as it were?
Yeah, there's always more to it as anything. You know, it's nothing like your face. So GlenX was, I guess, we consider version 1.0, kind of proving our concept out. GlenX actually started in Glenwood, hence the name Glen. And then when they moved to Carbondale, there was a lot of feedback from our members that we should maybe rebrand and look at like what we do. And so people, especially in the Valley, don't get so confused. It's like, well, GlenX, but you're not in Glenwood, you're in Carbondale. I don't get how that works. So part of our move into the space at 201 Main Street from 3rd Street Center, we decided to go ahead and do a rebranding and allowing us to really build upon what we've started. We did a lot of testing with our business ideation. As some of you might remember, we gave away $10,000 to Lucas Turner to help him start his podcast business in our ideation, which I led. And we'll be doing that again. I'm not set on that prize this year quite yet, but we're definitely doing something. And we're going to be having more sessions to have kind of a bigger pool. But along with that, we'll also be doing our accelerator program that we did last year as well, which we had some big venture capitalists come in. And we had, I believe, 7 local entrepreneurs in the Valley come in and pitch in front of them in a huge room and curated over, I believe it was over $150,000 in investment $1.5 million investment across a wide variety of businesses to help really get them started, which led to not only employment, but also jumpstarting their businesses and really helping them take off. And that's what kind of CoVenture is all about, is how do you take your idea for entrepreneurial and help grow it? Because to me, I firmly believe everybody has the ability to be an entrepreneur and start their own business. But oftentimes, it's like anything, we don't know where to start. And so CoVenture is that start. So we'd be happy to have you come in. We'll talk about your idea. And some of that kind of ideation is finding out that your idea might not be a great one. But, you know, that's the learning process. It'd be better to figure out that out in the beginning versus down the line. But you know, if for every great idea, there's a ton of bad ones, but you know, that's for us to help you take that idea and maybe spin it or pivot on it, as the buzz term may be, to find out what is the best path forward on that. And not only say, I mean, everybody has a skill or service that they could offer, but it's more looking at the idea of saying, hey, you have the skill or service to offer, but how do you monetize it? And then once you can figure out how to monetize it, you know, there's all this other stuff to business that people either don't understand or they're not great at, or, you know, simply put, I just don't want to do. I mean, most small businesses, you say, hey, I'm doing something, whether it's painting or artistry or anything else, but, you know, accounting, I hate accounting. Mm-hmm. That's why there's accountants or lawyers. I don't know much about legal work. Or the big one is marketing. You know, how do I get myself out there? How do I brand my business, and how do I position it to get more customers? And all too often, people can't see the forest through the trees, and they work as hard as they can, and they spin their wheels, and they're making money. But, you know, it's the third party perspective sometimes can just lend so much credence to what you're doing, and maybe you just haven't approached something in quite the appropriate manner, or you just need a little bit of that little bit of shove out of the nest to really go try that next big thing and be wildly successful at it.
So I am a want to be, at least at this point, entrepreneur. I come to CoVenture, mm-hmm. and I think, okay, like the co-working space is great. Love that I can rent a desk or whatever, but I do need more. I want to be part of this accelerator program, right? I want to accelerate the trajectory of my success. Mostly mentoring, like helping tap into existing networks to help set me up with those legal minds, with the marketing brains, et cetera. Very much just sort of advice, counsel driven.
Everything and above. So co-working is kind of our one of our offerings. So we have a number of different packages for co-working, whether you work from home or you have your own business and you need to get out of house. Our lowest community level is $25 a month, gets you access to the space 4 times a month. And then as well as, you know, get in there and meet and network. That's really the biggest part of it. Because, I mean, I work from home and I'm by myself and it's like, I need to make some friends. I can't stare at the computer anymore and I don't have a cat. But then so past that, co-working is the business ideation and saying, hey, we got that idea. Let's help you grow up. But then so the acceleration is more of taking that business of what you're doing and getting it to a much larger spot. So our accelerator program right now, we have six more local businesses that we're enrolling in that. They're all profitable, but they're all tech-centered. Everything from a home design app to cybersecurity, and then even our access and software that we use in the co-working to allow billing and everything else. So it's pretty cool. And they're based out of Grant Montrose. Would you believe that I told you that the number one co-working center in America is based in Montrose?
That is new information for me and counterintuitive, but go Montrose.
Yeah, proximity. So they'll be part of our accelerator program as well.
Very cool.
And so when it comes to services, it's more than just counseling. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm in charge of, is more of our professional services. And we're building a team that of people who can either, one, give advice how to do it. I'm a big fan of, you know, teaching somebody how to fish, but obviously there's only so many hours of the day. So I'm kind of like the base level is the SBDC. I'm a small business development center consultant. So that allows you to come in and get free consulting. We have a number of consultants up and down the valley, all the way to Rifle and Silt, all the way up to Aspen. That'll, you know, we can either meet you or you can come meet us at CoVenture, and you can get help with whatever problem you're working on. And we have specialists, whether you need something in accounting or you need something in legal or marketing or technology, we have different specialists. So we usually pair you with one person. And then if, you know, kind of your problem gets out of their control, we'll refer you to somebody else.
Right.
But then on top of that, we work with a number of firms that we could either do in-house. So if you say, hey, I need a website built, we can say, hey, we have somebody that can come build this website for you.
Sure.
Here's different options for you. And, you know, let's get this done. And then what's your next problem? You know, what's the next thing you need help on? Accountant?
Great.
Everybody needs accounting, especially for their business.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, on community radio, I can't talk too much about specifics on money because,
yes,
you know, nonprofit. Oh, you're fine. But I do want to talk about money more broadly. I'd like to pivot on a kind of final note, because I think some of some of the time you can hear these big numbers, right? Yes. Again, for the people who want to be the entrepreneurs, and all of a sudden you come in saying, oh, we've got seven VCs that are in and we're going to invest, you know, $1 million, $2 million plus, right? Yeah. All of a sudden you get seven digits in and people perk up.
Yeah.
But wait, what is a venture capitalist and what are they getting in exchange for that investment?
Yeah. So a venture capitalist is somebody generally with a lot of money. And instead of investing their money traditionally, like in the stock market or, you know, commodities and futures, they invest it in smaller companies. So a venture capitalist is somebody who would come in and a company is either, there's a couple different varieties of a venture capitalist and what legally defines them. But at the same time, it's really somebody who comes in and says, hey, I'm going to help. I'm going to pour rocket fuel onto your jet ship and going to take you to the moon. It's somebody to say, hey, you've been doing this for a while. You have a proven model. You've got revenue coming in. You've got customers. You're not going away anytime soon. But to take it to the next level, you need an insurgence of cash. And so they're going to give you a large amount of cash. And for that, they typically get some sort of equity in your business or revenue sharing or, you know, depending on how the flavor of the deal that they work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a wide variety of things of how that works. There's angel investors who typically come in at the very startup phase. You've maybe got this idea and you're able to sell your idea via pitch and mm-hmm. say, hey, somebody says, hey, this is a great idea. Here's a bunch of money. Those are usually the stories few and far between. Typically, you got to have some proof of concept that's actually working.
Called angels for a reason,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Nice. Yeah, because I think sometimes that's the dream, right? It's like, oh, I want access to that, you know, that world. Do you offer any kind of talks or workshops on how to craft your deck or your pitch to speak the language of the potential VC?
Yep, exactly. And that's really what our incubation program is. Mm-hmm. So ideation is more of it happens every Saturday. Evan, as our director of programming, does that program and really say, hey, that's kind of vetting your idea, make sure it's got legs. And then once you've started working on your idea and you say, hey, I've got this kind of thought out, I've got the pieces together, we'll help you take that idea and the incubation program, which I'm in charge of, which will be running in May. You can sign up on our website and find out more information about it. It allows you to kind of start with that real definitive, what's the problem I'm solving? How does it make money? And why should somebody care? And then what I'm willing to give for that investment in my company. And then that can happen kind of at all stages. You know, I've worked with companies that they had the angel investor, they had a really great sales pitch and really good idea and a strong team. And somebody said, hey, here's the money you need to get this done. Where I've worked with other businesses where they've got everything, you know, everything should work out for them. They've got the money, they've got the customers, but you know, they just really need to tweak and do that better presentation because not everybody has the next Facebook. You know, there's mm-hmm. not the next Zuckerberg out there. I mean, there is, but you know, by and large, business isn't this sexy machine. You know, it's not something where, hey, I'm going to go make $1 trillion at it. It's a lot of hard work, sweat, and tears. And that's really where we help trying to alleviate some of those, that sweat and tears.
So final note, because I am a slave to the clock on radio, there are definitely some listeners right now whose blood pressure is rising. I always describe Carbondale as a wonderful place comprised of two camps of people. People who are like co-venture, like, yes, let's take it to another level. Let's diversify our economy. Let's, you know, create accessibility to whatever next level in terms of business. Then there are people who think that Carbondale peaked when Main Street was a dirt road and are terrified that people like you are going to turn it into the next Silicon Valley. And that is something that I was told off the record by somebody who has a noteworthy name in town, right? So
yeah.
We talk about growth management and business, but what about growth management and community? What do you say to those people?
Well, I can tell you that change is inevitable no matter what you do. Change is going to happen. It's just a matter of managing that change. And no way do I want Carbondale to become Silicon Valley. And every time I hear somebody refer to it as that of the Silicon Valley of Carbondale, my skin kind of...
Yeah, it's your cockles just like tighten.
Yeah,
like.
I cringe. It's like, that's the last thing I want. Mm-hmm. But what we do want and we do see is this real need for more diversity and entrepreneurism. I mean, to me, you can look up the valley and you can see the trickle of wealth down the valley and all the way down to Rifle and Grand Junction. And to me, it's, do we want more skilled labor or mm-hmm. do we want more unskilled labor? And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, do we want our children who grow up here in the valley to go off to college, learn how the real world works, and bring that energy and that knowledge back to the valley to make the valley a better place. Because without that, we're just going to have more reliance on tourism. And to me, that's not sustainable. As we saw, everybody saw in 2008 when the economy crashed, like, you know, everything that just disappeared for a while, and it is coming back. And I can, there is a huge amount of money that has come back. And I mean, even to me, looking for a place to live, it's like kind of hard. And even for me, finding a job, like I've spent a very long time looking for a job here in the valley that met my skills. And, you know, I have a lot to offer and a lot of different skills to offer. But at the same time, there's not a lot of high skilled jobs in the valley that pay well. And that's one of the issues that we all have is like, well, how do we get something that's meets our potential? And that's what CoVenture wants to do, is help people reach their potential more than anything.
Well, I think that's a mic drop moment for sure. And everyone can resonate with that. So,
I hope so.
Jonathan Stokely, Professional Services Director at CoVenture. I hope tomorrow goes off without a hitch for you all. And your stoke is very genuine. I can't thank you enough for coming in. So thanks.
Thank you very much, Megan, for having me. And I hope everybody out there listening can make it at 68 p.m. at 201 Main Street. Have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you.
Perfect. Thank you, Jonathan. Corey and Owen, if you hear me on the other side of the studio door, by all means, this is your cue, gentlemen. While they're shifting in, you are, just a reminder, listening to KD&K, commercial-free since 1983, and this is Everything Under the Sun, Soper Sun's weekly news show in collaboration with KD&K. We always have a ball. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, and I am being joined right now with some of the Thunder River Theater Company crew, who just got finished with a matinee performance, a student performance, well, not student performance, a performance to students of the current of Mice and Men.
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Hi,
everybody.
Oh, and you don't have to crouch. You can move the mic.
Okay, there you go.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I mean, I was out of town your opening weekend, but I did catch the final dress, and you two made me weep. You did.
It's part of the plan.
The grand plan.
Sadists. No. I like to think that it's not sadism. It's more inspiring reflection and thought. And what better vehicle to do that than Steinbeck?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's so well written. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And both of you are playing, you know, renowned roles that, you know, there's a lot to live up to. And Owen, your Lenny is amazing, truly.
Well, thank you. It's nice.
Yeah. Can you kind of speak how you tapped into that character and found your version of Lenny?
Well, you know, it is a little intimidating because some great, great actors have done it. And I've seen quite a few of the movies that are out there. I was a little concerned because I'm not a big physical person, tall, big, mm-hmm. strong. I'm overweight, but that's a different story. So I was a little concerned that I wasn't going to be able to pull off, you know, the willing suspension of disbelief, as it were. But the childish aspect of him is what I kind of focused on. And I mentioned it earlier to the kids when they asked a question today. The interesting thing about it is when I learned this role, it was so hard to learn because I had to learn it twice. First, I had to learn the role and all the lines, and then I had to dumb them down somewhat. Not necessarily dumb them down, but to interpret them and bring them back out as a child would. Mm-hmm. So all the information that I'm getting from the outside world, I try to receive it as a child, right. Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, you pull it off, in my humble opinion. You pull it off. No, truly. And Corey, you play George. Mm-hmm. You know, Lenny's just very, very loyal friend. But I've heard that you have a softer portrayal of George than other portrayals.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've been asked the question a lot since we opened the production about, have I seen the film versions of this? And you know what? I think a lot of actors would say the same thing. We kind of tend to avoid watching the films, and I've never seen a movie version of this.
Wow, interesting.
And in fact, someone today sent us an email after the show for the kids. We had three different local high schools come today for a matinee, and one of the teachers said, "Wow, that portrayal was really different than Gary Sinise, who was much more sort of stoic and mm-hmm. quieter and withdrawn." And yeah, I think Lon Winston, who directed this production, really was one of the things he was emphasizing was that softness, and there are all these relationships between the men that are in the bunkhouse, and maybe we'll talk a bit more about mm-hmm. the characters in the play, but that was really a focus for Lon, and I think he really worked to help bring that out in all of the men in the production, so mm-hmm. that it wasn't quite so stoic and withdrawn.
Right, because I think that's interesting. There are so many very stoic versions of and interpretations of these characters. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I read Steinbeck, at least, one of the things that I take away from that is how he, you know, sort of stewarded the longevity of humanity through the starkness of the Depression. Mm-hmm. And I don't know many writers that did that with that level of efficacy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was because it was based off of his own experiences. You know, he did grow up in that California Valley. He did work as a quote-unquote bindlestiff. And in fact, he based Lenny's character off of a real person that he encountered during his travels.
That's right.
And that's right. Yeah, no, I was really surprised when I came across that. Lenny was a real person. Mm-hmm. Lenny, you know, was at the time of his writing, still alive in an insane asylum, but he did kill a man.
We have lots to look forward to.
Yeah, he killed a man because, like a child, he was so upset that his friend was let go, right? Huh. And so, you know, you have these genuine attributes and characteristics because they're based off of such reality. So the fact that you two and the entire show focuses so much on the human element and the relationships and, you know, do you want to spend your life just kind of drifting from cat house to cat house, or mm-hmm. how much are you willing to hinge on the sacredness of a friendship?
Yeah, and that absolutely resonates for today, which is why Lon really wanted to do the piece, why we talked about adding it to the season. You know, there's so much sort of feeling in the world that we're all separate and disconnected and hungry for that connection with other human beings. And it is amazing that Steinbeck put his finger on that during the Depression era. And mm-hmm. here we are. And, you know, we're all talking about how much we're on cell phones and yep. disconnected from one another. And mm-hmm. I think it really resonates for that reason.
Yeah.
And that relationship, I mean, Corey and I are friends and all, but I was very lucky because I have a George in my world. My best friend has been my best friend since the second day of college, 40 some odd years now. And it's just easy to tap into that love that two men can have for each other. It's not a romantic love, mm-hmm. but it's a genuine, from the heart, you know, do anything for you love. And it made that part of it a lot easier for me.
Well, and it's like that. You know, in life, you see really, really close friends who've been friends for a long time, and I think we all respond to that. We all see that. We think, wow, that's an amazing thing to have. We want some of that. And that's how all the characters respond to.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think the other thing that makes this show so poignant for our times is, and it's not a happy note, but we are seeing an increasing disparity in wealth in this country. Mm-hmm. And I think there is some desperation right now and a lot of very hard, conversations in national discourse of what is the American dream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So revisiting it through the lens of the Depression mm-hmm. as George and Lenny, did you feel that at all when you were examining the American dream and you just needed to get your savings together? You just need to get your stake. Did that come through at all?
I don't think yes, that is the character's story.
Sure.
But, you know, I think we all have aspirations and dreams that we can relate to. Mm. And that's what creates the stakes for us in drama. And so, you know, because of this friendship and because of how desperately we want that, I think it's an easy thing to tap into, even if for us in our everyday life, maybe we don't think of it as, I am so desperate for the American
right,
dream.
Right. No, I was just, that's a bigger concept that I didn't really focus on. Mm-hmm. That is the overriding theme that the play, you know, promotes, as it were. But basically, these characters are really difficult to tap into mm-hmm. Because not necessarily the friendship aspect was easy, but it's really complicated. And the writing is really, really interesting in the way he's written it in repetition, but not exact repetition, which mm-hmm. really can make it difficult, as we know.
Yeah, but I mean, because the colloquialisms and the vernacular of that show are not necessarily reflective of 2019 Carbondale. No.
I shouldn't be saying this on air, but one of these shows, I'm going to get every line right.
I'm doubtful on that.
Oh, man. But I mean, you know, you guys know if you stumble over something, you're like, oh, man, that was another paragraph ago or whatever. But as long as you play it off, the audience doesn't know.
We tell the same story three different times, and it's our dream. And I ask him over and over again to tell me the story. What's it going to be like? And he tells a story, but each time he tells it, it's with a different word, and it goes to a different response. So we've done it where the last time that it happens in the play, very similar to the first time that happens, but it's different. Mm-hmm. So my response was the wrong one. It still makes sense. And the only people that know it are us two, but it's frustrating not to get that flow that you want to have.
Sure. Another story that I think is told three times in that show, without giving too many spoilers, but the teacher in me really hopes that Of Mice and Men is a well-known tale, is this idea of violence, like compassionate violence, right? You've got Candy's sheepdog that needs to get put down. Mm-hmm. Then you've got Lenny, that what gets him in trouble to begin with, right, with Curly's wife, and then the final scene. Mm-hmm. How did you marry that in your minds as actors?
Mm. We talked about it a little earlier today with the kids, because the shooting of the dog and Lenny's demise at the end are very, very similar. It's a foreshadowing. And George gets to witness it when it's talked about with the dog, and he's looking at what he's going to end up doing later in the play, which is really kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. He's just so well written. It's unbelievable. You keep finding little things like this. What was the line that we were talking about? They both end the same. Oh, the card. I pick up the card.
Oh, yes.
Like both sides the same.
Both
George.
Ends are the same.
Mm-hmm. Both ends the same, George. And it's exactly the same with the dog.
Oh, that's a neat insight. I hadn't put that together.
Yeah, that's definitely a metaphor. Both ends are the same. Yeah.
Right.
The end of the dog and the end of Lenny.
Right.
You know, getting back to your question.
And no pressure, but I got about 1 minute.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that definitely is just sort of the greatest demonstration of love that you can give someone, is to take their life and put them out of suffering rather than dragging it on. And that's really what the end of the play is looking at. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, quick plug before I've got to tap out. What is the final show run for people who haven't seen it and want to see it?
This Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee. And two out of those three are practically sold out. So get your tickets quick. And then next weekend on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you both so much for joining me.
Thanks for
thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for your work on this. I was moved and it was just a rehearsal. So
thank you. We love the sun. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And on that, I have 40 seconds to tune out on some Beatles. I would never, ever rob any of you listeners of Beatles. So I'm Megan Tackett, signing out on Everything Under the Sun here on KBNK Community Access Radio.